The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, today is kind of a tough feast day for us. Right? The collect reads, O Almighty God, who out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast ordained strength, and madest infants to glorify thee by their deaths, mortify and kill all vices in us, and so strengthen us by thy grace, that by the innocency of our lives and constancy of our faith, even unto death, we may glorify thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, this is a tough day because we're celebrating not just martyrs, but innocent martyrs. Martyrs who didn't have any agency in their death, right? And so the question comes up, why does the church make a feast day of the slaughter of innocent children? Well, we began this triduum of feasts after Christmas with Saint Stephen. He was a martyr, we say, by will and by deed, by intention and by deed. In other words, he suffered martyrdom, but he was fully aware of what was happening, right? And so he is the first martyr with that conscious act of the will. This is followed by the feast of Saint John, and we say that he's a martyr by will. He was willing to die for Christ, but he was not called to suffer the death of a martyr. He lived a long life and died a natural death. And then finally today, we remember these infants who were killed by deed, but not with intentionality, not by will. They had no choice in the matter. Herod imposed a death sentence upon them without consideration of if they deserved it or not. Christ the King had entered the world, threatening the reigns of earthly rulers, who thus brutally sought to stamp out any challenge to their thrones. Is this really something we should be celebrating? It's a tragedy. It is cruel beyond imagination that children not old enough to have any agency in the world would be put to death to somehow secure the position of a king. How then are we justified in celebrating the death of the holy innocents? Well, first, let me state in the most emphatic way that we do not celebrate the fact of this tragedy. It is a brutally heartbreaking event, and we condemn Herod and anyone else who would hold life so cheaply. You know, Herod, he earns a place in the Hall of Fame or Hall of Infamy of the Bible, right, along with Pontius Pilate and others. What we celebrate this day is that the demonic evil behind Herod's actions was thwarted. Those babies did not suffer and die in vain, but rather they suffered, even if not consciously, to save the one who would save them and all mankind. They had an instrumental role in the mission of Jesus Christ. Rather than dying in vain, these children gave their lives for Jesus, the Messiah, and thus we honor them as the first Christian martyrs, even if they did not die with the intentionality of, say, Saint Stephen. Considering that the church links this event with the prophecy of Jeremiah 31, many would say that God caused this awful tragedy. He knew it would happen. Why didn't God stop it? Well, the brief answer is that God gives every person real agency, the power to act in both extremely pure and good ways, but also the power to act in extremely wicked ways. Knowing how someone will act is not the same thing as causing it to happen. allowing evil to occur honors the agency of humanity. Preventing evil destroys faith. I don't have to have faith in gravity because the law of gravity is never broken. I would not need faith in God if I had a perfect life. Faith is needed and it is strengthened when it is tested and challenged by tragedy. God may sometimes work miraculously to prevent human evil, but once he has made himself known, then we are the ones that are called to stand up to evil. We are the ones who must go out into the world and tell others about God. We are the ones who, through obedience and sacrifice, build the kingdom of God. Bad things will happen to us, like it happened to St. Stephen and St. John in his exile, like it happened to the baby slaughtered by Pharaoh in the days of Moses, and by Herod's attempt to kill the newborn Christ. Bad things, torture and martyrdom, happened to Polycarp, to Agnes, to Fabian, to Alban, to Boniface, to Alphage, to the Oxford martyrs and the martyrs of Japan. To the martyrs of Uganda, and in our day, the martyrs in Nigeria, among others of our brothers and sisters who are suffering for their faith. Even now. It is easy to become discouraged by all the suffering. But this is not the Christian response. Christ was preserved during Herod's purge because there was a larger plan in motion. The suffering of the holy innocents was not so that Christ could have a comfortable and easy life. The opposite was the case. Christ was called to endure the greatest suffering to redeem us, to remake humanity and the world through the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. The sacrifice of those little children was instrumental to preserve the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. When we are tempted to become discouraged, let us remember the 28th verse, the 8th chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. And we know that all things, not just the good things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In the face of tragedy, we are called to have faith. And in and with that faith, to persevere in obedience to God. Now, this does not mean that we do not mourn for our suffering and loss. This does not mean that we should just be blissfully ignorant of the tragedy or unfeeling for those who are experiencing loss. No, let us mourn with them that mourn. Let us comfort others by grieving with them that grieve. The miracle of faith is not about avoiding such sorrow or pain. It is about persisting in faithful living in the face of the grief, the loss, the pain. It is about continuing to trust God when we are confused and hurt and when we don't have any idea about why any of the bad things are happening. But know that when we endure suffering in patience and faith, it is not meaningless. God will be glorified and you will be glorified. Christ was glorified for his sacrifice and he is the pattern set for us. We do not glory in the sacrifice for its own sake. We condemn the killing of the baby boys in Bethlehem. We consider Herod to be a monster, which is verified by the other historical accounts of him. I'm sure he now has his reward. But our salvation and the salvation of the world is won partly by the sacrifice of those children. God transformed the evil intent and actions of humans into his glory, into our glory. What then is our response? It is first that we should be grateful. We give thanks and praise to God for his eternal purposes, which have been worked out in the world through the suffering of so many. Of course, remembering the suffering of Christ, most of all. It is second that we should determine to remain faithful in all of the suffering that we may be called to endure. Yes, even if that means suffering on the scale of the early martyrs of the church. Though granted, in our current context, this is improbable. May God grant us the measure of faith that we need to conquer the challenges, whatever they may be, that we will encounter to the glory of God. Now, I would like to turn our attention to a contemporary issue that we also remember this day, our modern slaughter of innocents through abortion. I know this is a controversial topic, but we have to be clear in our position regarding this issue. Our church has linked the slaughter of the innocents to the continuing slaughter that we see in our own day. We have to acknowledge that the conception of life is a miracle. Our most brilliant scientists and doctors do not understand how consciousness is knit to materiality. How it is that when a husband and wife come together, a new eternal soul bearing the image of God is created. We have no real understanding of this. We can only say that God makes it so. And therefore, we would also say that it is sin to kill the image bearer of God. Certainly, conception sometimes happens due to violence. Certainly, pregnancy and parenthood pose seemingly insurmountable and permanent challenges for individuals. But we must still condemn the ending of human life through abortion, as well as the premature ending of life through euthanasia. And this stance is embodied in the resolution on sanctity of human life, which was first adopted in 1978 by the Reformed Episcopal Church. It reads, "Resolved that we, the Reformed Episcopal Church, vigorously affirm the biblical teaching of the sanctity of human life and deplore the practice of permitting abortions, with the possible exception of cases where it has been clearly established that the life of the mother is in danger. Many women, families, have chosen abortion because of fear and the incredible challenges that raising a child as a single parent without a means of support or raising a special needs child would present. We cannot condone such decisions, but neither can we condemn those who have made them. All of us have wavered in our faith and failed in our actions under much less pressure. And let us not pretend otherwise. Thus, not only must we forgive such decisions, but we need to do a better job as the church, as the people of God, of providing help for women who choose to raise their babies. We must do better at letting the community know that they will be able to find help in the church for their family. More than that, we need to actually do what we say we want to do. Let us not encourage women under such stress to keep their children without actually providing the help and support they need. We bear the greater guilt if we abandon those who we promised to help. What can we do to address these needs? First of all, I would encourage those who are looking for a ministry to look up any of the crisis pregnancy centers in our area and then train and volunteer to help there. These centers are the vanguard in meeting needs of young mothers. Second, our desire to start a school to provide an excellent educational option for young families is also important. The diaper stage is only the beginning of raising children. All parents and families need support throughout life. Be imaginative in how we can meet the constant needs. Third, I am convinced more and more that we need a facility that can better support families in our worship. Please be praying that God would provide a clear option for us. I don't want us to think primarily about funding. Believe me, God will provide. I want us to be praying for the right place for us. Talk is cheap. It's time to act. This day, we remember and celebrate the Holy Innocents. It is one thing to honor them with words, but let us not stop there. Let us honor them in our actions through really doing something to help struggling families in the Five Cities area. If you have ideas, I want to hear them. If you see a property that would be good for us, then please say something to me. Let us be part of the solution. May we truly bring healing to our community, our corner of God's creation, and not just be noisy critics and complainers. And may all that we say and do be for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.